in that sense, science was born before philosophy, though not terribly long before philosophy. As it happens, the first natural philosopher of whom we have record is a person named Thales, who believed that underlying everything was water. He had a sequence of followers. This is not the time or the place to go through them in detail, but there had been a history for three or four generations of systematic rational speculation about the structure of the world, which preceded Socrates. But Socrates himself is to some degree sui generis, self-generated and a thing and a person unto himself. And he was an odd one. His dates are 469, born 11 years after Marathon, living till 399, so he lived a rich, full life. He was by trade supposedly a stonemason, though the records of what he actually spent his time doing don't suggest that he practiced his trade much. He seems to have spent most of his time wandering around town talking with people. And he was a notable eccentric, a gadfly, as he called himself. He almost never wore shoes. He was, by all accounts, pretty nearly indifferent to heat and to cold. He regularly fell into trances when he would stand motionless for hours at a stretch. He washed very, very seldom, and what he liked to do was buttonhole people on the streets and ask them questions. Unlike, even in the democracy of Athens, most of the prominent people in town, he was not an oligarch. He came from the Athenian equivalent of a lower middle class craft background. Nevertheless, by his charismatic personality, he attracted a circle which included the richest, many of the richest and most powerful and most influential, particularly young men in Athens. He is thought of by Plato, who is thought of by many more people as the father of philosophy. Socrates coins the term himself when, as he says when he is on trial for his life, when he responds to the news from one of his friends who has gone to the Delphic Oracle to find out if Socrates is the wisest person in Greece. The Delphic Oracle says, "Yes, he is, and Socrates is told this," he says, and is flabbergasted by it, because he doesn't think he's wise. He thinks of himself as, at best, a lover of wisdom, philo, love, sophia, wisdom. He is a philosopher, not a sophron, not a wise man, but a lover of wisdom. And in response to this, as he claims, he goes around trying to find out who the truly wise people are, and he seeks out people who are reputed to be wise, asks them questions, and finds out they aren't. And he then goes on to say, "I guess if I'm the wisest person in Athens, it's only because, unlike a lot of people who think they're wise, I know what I don't know. I'm aware of the extent of my ignorance." That, however, on my reading, is a deliciously ironic statement. And Socrates is regularly accused of irony in this sense, that his self-deprecating stance is to some degree, not meant totally seriously. There is, after all, another sense in which you can interpret knowing what you don't know. And in that sense, too, Socrates knows what he doesn't know. What I mean is this, that there are many, many things which we know, and they are things of vast importance that we know, but which we cannot rationally account for or rationally prove. believers, religious believers, ordinarily believe, in part because of training, but if they believe more deeply, because of experiences which bear a kind of religious freight, which announce themselves as such. They say, you are feeling God, or whatever.